everyone, welcome back. Welcome to the Letters and Layers podcast. I'm welcoming any new listeners. This is your host, Amaka, and this is your go-to podcast for all things books, mental health, wellness, life lessons, personal insights, and everything in between. It is Tuesday, October 14th, and I got an early start this morning. I woke up maybe like 6:45 and tidied some things in the apartment, sat down, did some work, and now I'm recording. So I work my day job on Tuesdays later in the day from about 12 to 7, 12 to 8, but I do have some downtime while I'm working, so I will definitely be editing this episode and making sure to get it out to you guys by tomorrow, the 15th. So how have I been doing? I've been doing really good. I had a pretty good weekend, busy weekend. I went to the Black Girl Art Show on Sunday, which was really cool. A lot of great artists. I filmed some clips because I want to put together a vlog for this month. I'm super behind on my YouTube channel, but I'm still like filming behind the scenes. I just really need to like sit down and start getting everything up and making them public because I have like 4 videos that need editing and I need to release them. I need to just release them. So yes, I really do enjoy vlogging. I don't put too much pressure on myself and I'm hoping, you know, be able to slowly kind of build a platform and build an audience that likes the vlogs too. So yes, went to the Black Girl Art Show, got my retie. If you're watching online, whenever I post this video podcast, I got my retie on Sunday. So I woke up Sunday morning a couple days ago, did some work, got ready for my retie. My appointment was at noon and it's like a half hour drive, 30 minutes outside of the city. So got there on time, was there for like 3.5 hours maybe, and then got something to eat and went straight to the show. So I was out for most of the day on Sunday. Saturday, what did I do on Saturday? I'm blanking. I went to Trader Joe's on Saturday and I went to the movies. I saw One Battle After Another with Leonardo DiCaprio and Tiana Taylor and Regina Hall and Chase Infinity. I really liked it. I would rate it an 8. It's a political leaning movie, but really well done. I have this opinion that there are certain celebrities that are just too big for their fame, and for me, I have a hard time seeing the character they're playing because I just see them as who they are. So for me, Denzel Washington fits in that category, Tom Cruise fits in that category, Nicole Kidman fits in that category. Like, I am not seeing the character you're playing, I'm just seeing you as the famous person. But Leonardo DiCaprio, I think he is an amazing actor. Unpopular opinion, but I still think he's pretty underrated. Even though he's an Academy Award winning actor, I still think, like, I don't know. I'm just like, when you're talking about best actors, do people mention Leonardo DiCaprio? I hope they do, because he's amazing. He's pretty amazing, and he was amazing in this movie. Yeah, he's one of those people that really embodies the character. And I see the person you're playing. I don't really see you, which is great. And then, yeah, Tiana Taylor was great. She was in it for the first half primarily. And then I think the breakout star, honestly, for the movie was Chase Infinity, who played the daughter who was kidnapped. She did really great. I don't know if that's like her first breakout role, but she honestly stole the show, I gotta say. Regina Hall had a supporting role. She did really well. Benicio del Toro was in the movie too. I liked his character. So yeah, all around great movie. Sean Penn was also in the movie. I'm not too familiar with his acting history, but yeah, it was a solid movie. It was 2+ hours, maybe 2.5. By the time I sat down for the previews, to when I left the movie theater, it was 3 hours had gone by and it didn't feel like it. It was action-packed, but appropriately paced, if that makes sense. Like, I didn't feel overwhelmed and it kept my interest throughout the movie. Yeah, I would recommend it. I would give it a solid eight. So yeah, that was my Saturday movie, Trader Joe's, went and got some pizza, came home. So looking forward to the week ahead. October is trudging along. We're at the halfway point now. I feel like it's going a little slower for me than it did in September, and I'm totally fine with that. I am going to see my family at the end of the month, which I'm looking forward to, and just starting to get ready for the holiday, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all the festivities that come with this time of year. And I talked in the podcast episode prior to this about how, you know, there are periods in the year where I get super reflective. My birthday is around that time because July, my birthday being July 18th, is pretty much like in the midway point of the year. So as that approaches, I start to, you know, reflect on things. And then as, you know, the end of the year approaches, kind of find myself in that place of reflection again. And I'm, you know, slowly thinking about how the year has gone so far and, you know, just how life is changing and trying not to overthink things, but very much the type of person who reflects on a pretty regular basis and just trying to do the best I can in any given moment. But yeah, honestly, that's pretty much it as far as my personal update. I, as you can see from the title of this episode, want to focus it on former Vice President Kamala Harris's book, 107 Days. I have it here for the folks who are watching on YouTube. So I mentioned in the last episode that I was reading Matriarch and I'm still reading Matriarch, but then this book came out and I was interested in getting it. And I went to like 3 bookstores before I finally got my hands on it. So I was like, huh. Pretty popular. And I read it in a couple of weeks. And that's only because like I couldn't read it all in one go. It's a good book. I say that it's good because it kept me engaged for the most part. I would say I didn't really have to struggle to keep reading. There's certain books where like you have the parts where you're flying through, like the narration, the story is carrying you. And then you have some parts of a book where like you have to like do the work to push through to the next section, to the next chapter, hoping it gets better. And oftentimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But one thing that I use to kind of categorize if a book is good or not to me personally is, did I have to do a lot of work to finish the book? Did I have to kind of put my own effort to keep reading? Or did the story carry me to the end? And I would say 107 Days did more of the latter. It started on the day when former President Joe Biden called former Vice President Kamala Harris, told her he was dropping out. And then she started to figure out what were going to be next steps for her. And then from that moment, it's like it was all systems go. So I would say before reading this book, like I don't talk much about politics on this podcast, although I have had like 1 or 2 episodes, like after Trump won, I talked about, you know, how to kind of take care of yourself, particularly as Black women, as we're kind of entering this new time in American history with this man being in office again. So I would definitely say this is probably a more political episode. I am not afraid to share my leanings, which are primarily left-leaning, and I definitely have opinions on how the election played out and, you know, things that happened, what I anticipate might have been different, you know. So I feel like there's no way to talk about this book without talking about those things. So if that's not something you're interested in, I totally understand. But that's kind of how this episode is going to go, honestly. So as far as Vice President Kamala Harris is concerned, prior to reading this book, I don't know that I ever really connected with her as a politician. I mean, can you really connect with politicians? You know, they are doing a job. They are, if they're doing the job well, quote unquote, they're pretty well trained. They know how to answer questions without really answering questions. So it's hard to kind of feel like you're connecting to someone who is trying to appeal to the masses or to appeal to as many people as possible. And before she became vice president, before reading this book, I always kind of felt like VP Harris wasn't really the type of person who I knew what she stood for. And I feel like this isn't something new as far as how many people kind of perceive her and relate to her. From what I saw in terms of like what her persona, her public persona, what she kind of puts out, she will answer in the very, like, in the most middle of the road way possible. And I feel like sometimes she would give non-answers. I felt like she would answer based on the environment she's in or the audience she's talking to. So, you know, versus some other people who I feel like they know what they're about, they have their message. If you think about them, people like, in my opinion, Bernie Sanders, people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, people like Zora Mamdani, more progressive, left-leaning. You think about them, you know what they're about. You know what their political profile is. You know what their stances are. I didn't feel like I knew that with VP Harris. And honestly, I feel like I still didn't know that about her as vice president, but I was super excited when former President Joe Biden picked her as his VP because of the significance. First Black woman vice president, first woman president, like all the firsts. So there was excitement there. But beyond that, I don't know that I had much more to be excited about. And then I, like many other people, were concerned about the direction of the election with former President Joe Biden deciding to stay in the race, even though I and many other people were under the impression that he was going to be a one-term president and essentially serve as a course corrector from Donald Trump's first term, but decided that he was going to run again, decided he wasn't going to drop out. I think that was a huge mistake. That's just my opinion. And I think that has to do a lot with why we are where we are right now. A big reason, not the only reason, but a big reason. So with him finally deciding he's not going to run again and bow out, I feel like I and many, many other people kind of had a renewed sense of excitement with him endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris as his choice to run for president. And being that there was only, like, you know, like the title says, 107 days, that's literally 3.5 months to completely overhaul a campaign and travel all over the country to put out a message to people who don't know you and don't know what you're about. And unfortunately, haven't been able to get to know you while you've been vice president. So I know that I was super excited when she became the nominee, but I don't know if as a Democratic Party, if Joe Biden had kept to his word from the beginning and did not announce running, I'm curious what that nomination field would have looked like. I'm curious who would have come out as the nominee, as the person who was picked by the people, because to be quite honest, I don't know that it would have been Vice President Kamala Harris. I feel like it would have been somebody else, and that's okay. But considering the circumstances, it was Vice President Harris, and I was super excited because I, like many other people, were feeling not excitement with Joe Biden not leaving the race. But seeing that we now had an alternative, it was like, okay, let's do everything we can. And I believe with reading this book that she did everything she could. Like, there are certain decisions she could have made differently, I believe, based on reading the book, certain ways that maybe her campaign could have fought back on certain things that were put forth by the Republican Party and Donald Trump's camp. But as far as trying to meet and talk to as many people as possible in 3.5 months and literally jump from state to state, city to city, and essentially reintroduce yourself and tell people what your platform is and have them like you and trust you enough to vote for you, I think, honestly, it's an insurmountable task. Not impossible, but I don't know that the 3.5 months was enough time considering what she was up against. Typically, campaign seasons are like 18 months. I personally think they're too long. I don't think they need to be that long, but 3.5 months, considering the size of this country, I don't think is enough. If the United States was a smaller country, maybe 3 to 6 months would be fine. Like maybe if it's like a smaller European country or something else. But considering the breadth and just how big this country is and trying to just get to every single place that you can, 3.5 months is not enough. I would say 12 months, in my opinion, is a good amount of time to campaign before a major presidential election. But considering what she was up against, Donald Trump, who has essentially been campaigning since 2015, has not stopped. Even while former President Joe Biden was in office, he was still traveling the country, doing his rallies and talking to his base, making sure he was connected with them, whether it was on the basis of truth, that's to be debated. But he was always talking to his base. Donald Trump was always talking to his base. He was always engaging them. And I feel like he was always campaigning towards them. He never stopped. Even after President Joe Biden took office, he was still going around the country, having his rallies, talking to his people. So that's something really tough to try and match, honestly, because love him or hate him, the people know him. As far as Donald Trump is concerned, love him or hate him, the people know him. And I think to a degree, some folks were like, well, I don't know who Kamala is. I'm not a fan of Joe Biden. Just, you know, talking about what some people might have thought. I'm not a fan of VP Kamala Harris. I'm not a fan of Joe Biden. I don't know who she is. A lot of people were feeling still and are still feeling the constraints of daily financial struggles. And not a lot of that had changed. If anything, it had gotten worse for many people. And a lot of people had the impression that things were better during Donald Trump's first term. And I think that's why a lot of folks voted for him in 2024, unfortunately. So in trying to adequately connect with voters in an honest and truthful way, but at the end of the day, try to connect with them at the magnitude that Donald Trump has connected with his base, I think it was super difficult and maybe, I don't want to say impossible, but pretty close to it. So that's one thing I took from the book. Just she did really all she could as far as like traveling the country and talking to people. And I don't know that she could have did much more. Another thing that I took from the book, which I feel like is the plight of many Black women, unfortunately, is just no matter how high a position you get into, no matter how many accolades, no matter how many degrees, no matter if you're C-suite, no matter just like everything you have stacked for you in your favor, these white men particularly will still play in your face and act like you don't know anything and that you're stupid. I found that to be a running theme in the book with certain men. She is open about her initially very optimistic view that she had of President Biden, but over the course of the presidential term, it started to get more complicated for her because the way they kind of positioned her in the administration, they did not allow her to, they didn't allow her to shine. They didn't allow her to really harness her talents and what she's good at. They didn't really allow the country to see who she is. And if there was any kind of like misunderstandings or any like news put out in the media that made her look bad or like at the very least not the best, they wouldn't come out to defend her. I'm not going to say particularly President Joe Biden, but his team. And there are specific like team members in the book who are mentioned who kind of just left her in like in the wind. I didn't like reading that. There were meetings after President Joe Biden said he would run again, but before he dropped out, they were having like these weekly meetings around polls and stuff. And Vice President Kamala Harris would ask questions and be given like dumb answers. Like not, she wouldn't be given answers that were commensurate with the questions she was asking. And oftentimes her husband, Doug Emhoff, would have to control himself and not try to come to her defense because he saw what was going on and some of her team members saw what was going on. I thought that it was pretty selfish on the part of former President Joe Biden to call her the evening before her debate and, you know, start talking about how he could have done a good job. You know, he had a bad night that night of his debate against Donald Trump. And he was essentially, he made the call, like he initially called and wished her luck, but then he kind of turned around and made the call about himself. And she does express frustration in the book about why he would do that. I thought it was so funny how when he finally dropped out and they were kind of making their plans and making their calls that first day, she called all these different politicians and she called Gavin Newsom, who didn't pick up. And he texted her saying that he was hiking or something, that he'd call her back. And she wrote in the book that he never called her back. I was like, oh my God. It made me wonder if like with the dropout announcement, was he trying to figure out how he could kind of swoop in and do some groundwork to become the Democratic nominee? But I think that attempt would have been futile because before the date ended, I don't even think it was 2 hours. Like maybe an hour or so after the dropout announcement, President Biden had endorsed Kamala Harris. So it just, you know, it's funny because I feel like that's a plight that is unique to Black women. I'm sure women of other races, white women, have experiences that are maybe similar, but I feel like there's a certain way that Black women are sometimes treated that is just like you really think I'm stupid. You really think I'm stupid. You really think I don't know anything. It reminds me of folks that saw the Renaissance by Beyonce after she had completed the tour a couple years ago. There is this clip, there's this scene where she's talking to some of her like stage people, managers, consultants, whoever, and she is inquiring particularly about a specific fisheye lens because there is a type of shot she wants to get during the tour. And she asks about it and she, you know, they tell her that that lens doesn't exist. What you're trying to do is impossible. And trust Beyonce, because I feel like if she is asking you a question, trust she has already tried to find out or figure it out herself. But she asks them, does this lens exist? Because this is what I want to do. They told her no. And without skipping a beat, she was like, well, I actually did some research and this lens does exist. So what I heard her implying is like, get off your asses and do the work that I pay you to do, because I want this lens for this shot that I want to get in this tour. As soon as I like read those snippets of how Kamala was treated in those moments, it took me right back to that scene in that film. And that's why I say, like, I feel like women in different ways experience this depending on who you are, but it's, there's a unique experience that Black women have with this, especially with white men, the way they kind of just take us at just not knowing anything. And that's why we have to like be on our game, like double, triple, quadruple, like anybody else, to be taken seriously. And it can be exhausting, but we are not new to it. It is not unfamiliar to us. So I felt a lot of empathy in those moments that she shared. And, you know, I wish she was more supported as vice president in her term during the administration. I'm sure there's a lot that she hasn't shared. And she shared what she felt was comfortable. She shared what she felt was appropriate. I think that there was, like I said, the book for the most part carried me through the entire story. But I feel like there were some chapters, sections that had a lot of like politician speak, like, you know, just talking about the people she met and how amazing they were, and, you know, kind of adding unnecessary fluff and detail that I think was not needed. But it wasn't enough to where like it completely took me out of the book. I think she did a pretty decent job with not overwhelming the story with like those type of insignificant details, in my opinion. I do wonder, with all the things that she shared, what she didn't share, because a book is a finite piece of literature. I'm sure that there's a lot that maybe she just couldn't talk about. And I wonder, like, what she shared a lot. She was honest about a lot. She was honest about like challenges, moments of conflict with her husband. She talked about having like a full-blown meltdown fight with him. But then he did well to kind of redirect and remind her that we need to be here for each other. We can't turn on each other. But he had to, he kind of fucked up. I can't even lie. And I think it was about her birthday. He didn't plan anything. He re-gifted a gift. I was like, my guy, like, there is no excuse. So he tried to kind of rectify that as best as possible, but I think he had what was coming to him. I don't even fault Vice President Harris for being so angry. On top of everything else she is dealing with, she's looking forward to this time with you, and you just fall all the way short. Anyway, so she was super honest about that stuff, but I wonder if she felt still kind of like that she had to hold back on a few things. And I don't know. I do feel like she let us in more. I feel like I knew her a little bit better. I do hear some folks say, you know, people that have spent time with her that her political public persona and who she is in real life are essentially two different people, and she is a lot more likable when, you know, the reporters aren't in her face and the cameras are off and everything. I would love to get to know that person. I wish I could. But as far as who I know her to be, I feel like I understand her a little bit better. I appreciate that she clarified a lot of the ambiguities around her career history and what she has accomplished. She's done a lot. She's done a lot. And I feel like the Biden administration kind of let her down in her being able to share with the country what she has accomplished. But at the same time, I feel like she could have done better with separating herself as an individual, because I think that kind of worked against her. I feel like people saw that she was attached to the Biden administration, already had negative feelings around it, and didn't give her a chance. So I appreciate that, you know, she shared a lot of like her history, her career trajectory, what she's done, how she's helped people, what she wanted to do as president, even though, you know, she didn't get the opportunity. So all in all, I really appreciate what this book represents. I was super interested to know what those 3 months were like behind the scenes, and she gives you enough. She gives me enough. I kind of hoped for a little bit more. I wish she gave a little bit more personal. Just a little bit. She gave a good amount, but I don't know. I feel like I wish she gave a little bit more. But overall, I think it's a good book. I think if you want to get to know Vice President Harris better, you should read it. And yeah, I think that's overall my review. Just sometimes I just wish things were different. But like I said in that episode, the episode that I published right after the election, what I encouraged folks to do was just to turn inward, focus on yourself, focus on your family, focus on your community, focus on what you can control, limit the amount of news and content consumption in your life, and, you know, just put your blinders on and take one step at a time forward. I feel like that's all we can do right now at this point. So I am nearing 40 minutes of recording. Considering that I only have today to edit, I think I will end the podcast here. I want to thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you are interested in reading the book, I would say go right ahead, go for it. I think it's a good read overall. It keeps you engaged. And yeah, I appreciate you guys as always. Thank you again to the Black Podcasting Awards for nominating the Letters and Layers podcast for Best Personal Development Podcast. Please rate, please review, give your girl 5 stars. You know this podcast is worth it. On your preferred listening platform, feel free to engage me via email, contact@theLettersAndLayers.com, DM me @theLettersAndLayersPod on Instagram. But yeah, I appreciate you guys as always. Thank you so much. And I will talk to you in the next episode. Bye.